ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 Chant verses 11 to 15.
We don't do this
chapter 1.
No.
Chapter 1, verse 11 to 15.
We've done up to
10.
We did 6. Yes. 11.
Yeah. अयनेषु च सर्वेषु अयनेषु च सर्वेषु यथा भागमवस्थिताः भागमवस्थिताः भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु भवन्तः सर्व एव हि भवन्तः सर्व एव हि अयनेषु च सर्वेषु
अयनेषु च सर्वेषु
यथा भागमवस्थिताः
यथा
भागमवस्थिताः भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु
भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु
भवन्तः सर्व एव हि
भवन्तः
सर्व एव हि तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षम् तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षम्
तस्य सञ्जनयन्
हर्षम् कुरु वृद्ध पितामहाः
पितामहाः
सिंहनादं विनद्योचैः
सिंहनादं
विनद्योचैः शङ्कं दद्मौ प्रतापवान्
शङ्कं
दद्मौ प्रतापवान् तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षम्
तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षम्
कुरु वृद्ध पितामहः
वृद्ध पितामहः
सिंहनादं विनद्योचैः
सिंहनादं
विनद्योचैः शङ्कं दद्मौ प्रतापवान्
शङ्कं
दद्मौ प्रतापवान् तत शङ्काश्च भेर्यश्च
तत
शङ्काश्च भेर्यश्च पनवानकगोमुखाः
पनवानकगोमुखाः
सहसैवाव्यहन्यन्तः
सहसैवाव्यहन्यन्तः
सशब्दस्तु मुलो भवत् सशब्दस्तु मुलो भवत् तत शङ्काश्च भेर्यश्च
तत
शङ्काश्च भेर्यश्च पनवानकगोमुखाः
पनवानकगोमुखाः
सहसैवाव्यहन्यन्तः
सहसैवाव्यहन्यन्तः
सशब्दस्तु मुलो भवत् सशब्दस्तु मुलो भवत् तदश्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते
तदश्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते
महते स्यन्दने स्थितौ
महते
स्यन्दने स्थितौ माधव पाण्डवश्चैव
माधव
पाण्डवश्चैव दिव्यौ शङ्कौ प्रदद्मतुः
दिव्यौ
शङ्कौ प्रदद्मतुः तदश्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते तदश्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते महते स्यन्दने स्थितौ
महते
स्यन्दने स्थितौ माधव पाण्डवश्चैव
माधव
पाण्डवश्चैव दिव्यौ शङ्कौ प्रदद्मतुः
दिव्यौ
शङ्कौ प्रदद्मतुः पाञ्चजन्यं ऋषिकेशः
पाञ्चजन्यं
ऋषिकेशः देवदत्तं धनञ्जयः
देवदत्तं
धनञ्जयः पौण्ड्रं दद्मौ महाशङ्कं
पौण्ड्रं
दद्मौ महाशङ्कं भीमकर्मा वृकोदरः
भीमकर्मा
वृकोदरः पाञ्चजन्यं ऋषिकेशः
पाञ्चजन्यं
ऋषिकेशः Devadattam Dhananjayah
Devadattam Dhananjayah
Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam
Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam
Bhima Karma Vikodarah
Bhima Karma Vikodarah
The 10th verse that we saw last week, where Duryodhana is speaking to Drona and he says, this army of ours protected by Bhishma is unlimited, also could be translated as insufficient. And then, whereas that army of theirs protected by Bhima is limited, which could also be translated as sufficient. When you objectively view Kauravas, Duryodhana side had 11 battalions. And Pandavas had 7 battalions. The 11 battalions is obviously more in quantity compared to the 7 battalions. Also, the 11 battalions that the Kauravas had was also qualitative. In terms of skill, in terms of arms and ammunition, they were qualitative, not necessarily that it was only filled with quantity, but external quality was there. But inner quality, dharma was missing there. Values were missing. When compared to Pandava side, less in quantity compared to the Kaurava side they had, but they were also qualitative, not only outside, but inside as well. So however much skillful we might be at the external level, if the inside is missing the values and dharma, to that extent we will feel insecure. If at the inside we are egoistic, egocentric, self-centered, then to that extent, whatever may be the quantity and the quality of the quantity we may have, if the person who possesses these quantities lacks quality. The quantity may have quality, but the person who possesses this quantity misses the quality, then to that extent there will be lack of security, sense of insecurity felt within, which is what is expressed. However much Duryodhana may try to hide it, it comes out when he speaks. And having said this, he says, in the next verse, we'll chant verse number 11. Ayaneshu cha sarveshu,
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu,
yata bhagam avasthitaha,
bhagam
avasthitaha, bhishma meva birakshantu,
bhishma
meva birakshantu, bhavanta sarva evahi,
bhavanta
sarva evahi, Ayaneshu cha sarveshu,
Ayaneshu
cha sarveshu, yatha bhagam avasthitaha,
yatha
bhagam avasthitaha, bhishma meva birakshantu,
bhishma
meva birakshantu, bhavanta sarva evahi,
bhavanta
sarva evahi. And stationed in your respective positions in all divisions, all of you guard Bhishma alone. Now, he says, because of the sense of insecurity that he feels, he thinks he has to mention this, that everybody should, from wherever they are standing, protect Bhishma, the commander-in-chief of their army, as though Bhishma is not capable of protecting himself and the rest. So it could be taken as a taunt to Bhishma, or it could be also taken as expressing his insufficiency, because a person who is suffering from jaundice, he will see everything yellow, isn't it? Because his eyes have turned yellow, everything he sees yellow. So as Duryodhana's mind is filled with insecurity, that he is expressing there, and he says, all of you therefore protect Bhishma. Strictly speaking, Bhishma doesn't require any protection. He can take care of himself and he can lend protection to everybody else. And hearing this, Bhishma says, enough is enough. And he blows the conch to inspire himself and the rest, which is given in the next verse.
This is spoken by Bhishma.
No, that verse number 12 is spoken by Sanjaya.
Okay.
But it is going to talk about Bhishma blowing the conch, which is to inspire himself and to the rest. Because he gets disgusted when he listens to Duryodhana saying that all of you protect Bhishma. Tasya sanjanayan harsham, tasya sanjanayan harsham, kuru vriddha pitamahaha, vriddha pitamahaha, simhanadam vinadyochaihi, simhanadam vinadyochaihi, shankam dadmau pratapavan,
shankam
dadmau pratapavan, tasya sanjanayan harsham,
tasya
sanjanayan harsham, kuru vriddha pitamahaha,
vriddha
pitamahaha, simhanadam vinadyochaihi,
simhanadam
vinadyochaihi, shankam dadmau pratapavan,
shankam
dadmau pratapavan. The mighty grandsire, the aged Kuru, referring to Bhishma, raising a lion's roar, blew his conch to cheer him up. A lion's roar, he roared as a taunted lion. He just roared. Also, it's very significant to note that expressing the readiness to war is what the blowing of the conch signifies. And it is very interesting to note that it is Bhishma who is the commander-in-chief of Kaurava army blows the conch first. It is the Kauravas who are the reason for this war. Pandavas tried to avert the war. They tried Samdhan Bhed. Everything they tried, Duryodhana would not agree. He said, let us go to war. Either you go back to the forest, or war is the only solution. So the war was declared by Kauravas and accepted by Pandavas. Like Shakespeare says, beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in, beareth that the enemy beware of thee. Beware of entrance to a quarrel. Don't start a quarrel. But once you are dragged in, you must accept it and face it and give a fitting response. So, a bhakta is one who accepts whatever situation that has been thrust on him. In fact, this very capacity to accept gives him the ability to face the challenge and come out victorious. It is the non-bhaktas, people who lack dharma, they go on thrusting war on others, and bhaktas simply accept that call for war and come out victorious. So however great the quality and the quantity of the soldiers of the Kauravas side might be, but they were warmongers. Duryodhana is a warmonger. He thrusted the war on the Pandavas. And so it is very significant to note here that it is the Kauravas who blow the conch first and declare the war. So Bhishma blowing the conch here signifies Kauravas
declaring the war. One should neither be a warmonger nor be a coward who runs away from the war. Any situation that confronts you, you must face it. Face the challenge. That's in fact what the message of Bhagavad Gita, when you look at it from one angle, is. So the mighty grandsire, the aged guru, raising aloud a lion's roar, blew his conch to cheer him up. Enough of this talk, Duryodhana. And he started declaring, let us start the war.
Tata shankascha bheryascha panavanaka gomukaha sahasaivabhyahanyanta sashabdastumulobhavat tata shankascha bheryascha panavanaka gomukaha sahasaivabhyahanyanta sashabdastumulobhavat.
Then conches, kettle drums, tabors, drums and cohorns blared forth quite suddenly. That noise was tumultuous. The sense, all the other soldiers on the Kaurava side blew the conches, sounded various different instruments, all of them signifying they immediately responding to Bhishma's sounding the conch by saying that we are also ready. So the first readiness call for war is coming from the Kaurava side. So the entire Kaurava army is declared the war and said we are ready.
So after the commander in chief blows his conch, everyone blows it to show that okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's a practice that is followed.
It may be a practice or it is to just to show, because each one is at various distances. So by blowing the conch, everybody is alert. We are ready for the war. So various, you know, kettle drums, tabors, drums, cowhorns, all these things are different instruments which are sounded to express, each one of them expressing that we may be far off in position from you, but we are with you, ready to fight. In that sense, the Kauravas blew their conch. And when the Kauravas blew the conch, and Bhishma being the commander-in-chief, also the eldest of the Kauravas, blowing the conch from that side, is fine. It's accepted as if a responsibility and the respect is given to Bhishma to declare the war. The acceptance on the Pandava side first comes from Krishna. Mm-hmm. Neither from Arjuna nor from Yudhishthira. It's not coming from Drishtadyumna or Bhima. But interestingly, it first comes from Krishna. The message Lord tries to give through this Bhagavad Gita is this, that you don't be a warmonger, but when it is thrust on you, face it, accept it. Don't be making choices beforehand. Allow yourself to make the choices when the situation unfolds itself to you. The problem in life is we have made our choices already. Mind is full of likes and dislikes. Everybody's mind is filled with likes and dislikes. What are these likes and dislikes? Mind is saying, I have some choices. I like this, I don't like this. So each one of us are filled with our likes and dislikes. Based on our likes and dislikes, we choose certain things in life and we try to avoid certain things. So this is the problem. Don't be choosers before the situation confronts. Choose when it confronts. Because what you like need not necessarily be what is the right thing to be done in a situation. What you dislike need not necessarily be a bad choice in a situation. When a person is suffering from a particular disease and the doctor has given a certain medicine, the medicine need not necessarily be
sweet,
may not be palatable. So the dislike, choosing what you dislike in the context which is to take the medicine, is actually the right choice in the context. So the problem with us is we all have preconceived, pre-decided, pre-determined choices. But Krishna is telling us, be open. A bhakta is one who keeps his heart open and his arms stretched out and accepts everything that comes to him as a prasad of the Lord. And that is exactly what is shown here by Krishna being the first person from the Pandava side to be blowing the conch, signifying that I accept the word which is thrusted on me. Verse number 14.
Tata shvetaiha yairyukte, tata shvetaiha yairyukte, महते स्यंदने स्थितौ, महते स्यंदने स्थितौ, माधव पांडवश्चैव, माधव पांडवश्चैव, दिव्यौ शंकौ प्रदध्मतुः, दिव्यौ शंकौ प्रदध्मतुः, तथा श्वेतैः यैर्युक्ते, श्वेतैः यैर्युक्ते, महते स्यंदने स्थितौ, महते स्यंदने स्थितौ, माधव पांडवश्चैव, माधव पांडवश्चैव, दिव्यौ शंकौ प्रदध्मतुः, दिव्यौ शंकौ प्रदध्मतुः.
Then Tatha, seated in a magnificent chariot yoked to white horses, Madhava and Pandava also blew their divine conches.
First
as mentioned,
and then
Pandav,
then Arjun.
Yeah, Madhav and Pandav.
Now,
Pandav,
actually, the Pandav, is it Arjun or is it all the Pandavas?
In this context, it's only Arjuna, because in the next few verses, he's going to talk about Bhishma, Yudhishthira, Nakula, and Sahadeva.
But so out here, when you're saying that, but she's not the commander in chief. Okay, Kanhaiya is the Lord, has the supreme position, and he blows the conch. But after that, it is Arjun who blows the conch and not the others.
Yeah. So, seated in a magnificent chariot, he says. Firstly, as you can notice, this is given by Sanjaya. Sanjaya is talking. And when Sanjaya speaks, he is saying the chariot is magnificent. An adjective is put to the chariot. Why is an adjective put to the chariot? Especially to this chariot, which is driven by Krishna. In Kathopanishad, this discussion happens, wherein it points out that the significance of chariot is, the chariot represents the human body, personality, in which Arjuna is the individual. The individual is seated in the chariot. And the chariot is yoked to horses. Horses represent senses. our senses, sense organs. And the horses are tied to reins. The reins represent the mind. And Krishna, the charioteer, represent the intellect, buddhi. So the senses are the horses.
Chariot by the mind.
Chariot is the body, personality. Reins are the mind. Krishna, the charioteer, is the intellect. Arjuna is the individual, you and me. If the reins are held firmly by the charioteer and the senses are, the horses are driven on the path, the journey of life.
And the horses?
Horses are the senses. So if the driver controlling the senses, the horses, with awareness on the path of life, then the individual will be able to have a pleasurable journey, pleasant journey, happy journey. If not, senses, the horses will go helter-skelter and the chariot will collapse and the individual will find himself on the streets in distress. So, magnificent chariot, because it is in perfect control of the charioteer. So the question we need to ask here is my chariot, my personality under my control? Vedanta or Bhagavad Gita is never against the sense objects, but it is against handing over our personality to the sense objects. That is what Vedanta criticizes. It is becoming a slave to the sense objects. We should be the master and not the slave. So when Bhagavad Gita seemingly talks about control over the senses, it is only trying to tell us that you should be the master while you contact this world and not a slave. So it is not talking about denial of senses, but control over senses. So this chariot is magnificent because of the driver. We are also driving this personality in this journey of life. But while driving, we are all driving this personality, keeping ourselves asleep, like a sleepwalker. A sleepwalker is also walking. But he lacks awareness. So we are also driving this personality in this journey of life without awareness. But this chariot is driven by Krishna, who is alert and aware. Therefore this chariot is magnificent. So if we have to make our chariot, our personality also magnificent, then we should also be aware while we walk in this life, not be asleep. So seated in a magnificent chariot, oaked white horses, Madhava, the Lord of Lakshmi, the master of Lakshmi, one who had mastered all the wealth, Lakshmipati refers to Lord Krishna here. And Pandava, in the context here, refers to Arjuna, blew their divine conscious. So, when a situation is thrust on the Pandavas by the Kauravas, Krishna accepts it, being the representative of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had great respect and regard for Krishna, because Krishna only supports dharma. So if Krishna has accepted, then Pandavas knew that it is the right thing to do. So the message here Krishna is saying is, don't run away. Stand up and face it. Accept it. Respond. And the there's a small story. Once when Swami Vivekananda was walking along the banks of a river, there was a monkey chasing him and he was running, I believe. So one fellow saw him and said, "Why are you running?" He said, "Can't you see this monkey is chasing me, therefore I am running." He said, "Stop and stare at the monkey. The monkey will run away." So this is exactly what Krishna is trying to tell us. Don't run away from the challenges of life. Stop and stare at it. Accept it. Be awakened. With that awareness, make the choice. Then you will be able to come out victorious.
Don't run away from the challenges of life.
Stop, stand and accept it. Face it. Then you will find that the challenges, the monkeys will run away from you. As long as you run away from them, they will try to catch up with you, wherever you go. You stand up and face it. So acceptance is the message given here by Lord Krishna. Acceptance with awareness and responding with alertness. So in this verse he said, Madhava and Pandava blew their divine conscious. And he continues, Pancha Janyam Rishi Keshaha, Pancha Janyam Rishi Keshaha, Devadattam Dananjayaha, Devadattam Dananjayaha, Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam, Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam, Bhimakarma Vrukodaraha, Bhimakarma Vrukodaraha, Pancha Janyam Rishi Keshaha, Pancha Janyam Rishi Keshaha, Devadattam Dananjayaha,
Devadattam
Dananjayaha, Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam,
Paundram
Dadmau Mahashankam, Bhimakarma Vrukodaraha,
Bhimakarma
Vrukodaraha. Rishikesha blew the Panchajanya, Dananjaya, the Devadatta, Vrukodara of terrible deeds, the great conch, Paundra. Now, here Lord Krishna is addressed as Rishikesha. Rishika Isha means Lord of Senses. This is what I explained to you when we talked about the previous verse, where he says, Master of Senses, not being a slave. So Rishika Isha, the Lord of Senses. The senses listens to him, not the other way around. In our case, the senses are dictating terms to us. What I am supposed to do is dictated by my senses. Like in the poem Pineapple and the Bee, William Cowper says, a Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch.
Our dear
delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames. The sight our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples in frames.
The sight
our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples in frames. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. I'll give it to you later. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. It's a beautiful poem by William Cowper, where he talks about a bee looking at the pineapples cut in triple row and kept inside a glass container. Looking at it from outside, it craves for it and tries to enter through the glass, but it is prevented. It tries half its life and then turns away, says the poet. So he says, in life, the mind is craving for things we do not deserve, and we attempt, the senses long, having had a glimpse of the outside world, the senses long for this and that in this world, without understanding the law, which is, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. The law says, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. So without understanding that I must deserve, I start running after this world, compelled and propelled by my senses. So he says, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames. This is what I wanted to emphasize on. The sight our foolish heart inflames. Through the senses the world enter. The color and form enters through the eyes. The sound enters through the ears, the smell through the nose, taste through the tongue, and touch through the skin. So the world enters, the sense objects enter into us through the senses. And the moment we have registered the sight, the color and form, the taste and all the perceptions, then what happens? The mind, he says, flames. The foolish heart inflames. We are caught up with desire. So the senses seems to dictate terms to us. Ravana, in the epic Ramayana, who had gone through the scriptures, he had information. He had chanted the entire Samaveda, appeased Lord Shiva and got the boon, and he became so powerful, which means he had access to the Vedas. He had gained information only from the Vedas, not the essence. And even such a person, when Surpanakha came back from the forest and told him, just spoke to him about the beauty of Mother Sita, just hearing the beauty, not even seeing the beauty, just hearing the beauty, his senses tickled him, his desires started overpowering him. Then he ran after Mother Sita, and you know the rest of the story. He brought her to Lanka by deceiving her, going there in the form of a sannyasi. And he imprisoned her in Ashokavana. Now, Ravana, if you were asked a question, was he killed by Ram, or how was he killed? Who killed Ravana? So those who have studied the story of Ramayana will say Ram killed
Ravana.
But if you understand the philosophy behind it, if you go a little deeper, you will say Ravana killed himself. Lord Ram is not a serial killer looking for people to go after them and kill them. It is Ravana's desires which led him from the front. His senses led him from the front. Therefore, he threw mud on his own head. So when the senses control us, we destroy us. So therefore, we need to control the senses. Rishikesha means that one who has perfect control over one's own senses. It is easy to conquer external objects, but it is not so easy to conquer one's own senses. One desire, one weakness is enough to destroy us. So therefore you must have sense control. Rishikesha blew the pancha janya. He blew his conch. Lord Krishna blew his conch. And then Dhananjaya, the Devadatta. Devadatta is the name of the conch of Arjun. And pancha janya is the name of Lord Krishna's conch. And Vrikodara of terrible deeds. Vrikodara means wolf bellied. Wolf bellied means what?
Why doesn't conches have names like Devadatta? I mean, Panchajanya was a Rakshas whom Krishna
conquered.
Conquers. What about
and that is what is become as conch. So each, you know, if you want to go into the details of this, then you need to go into the Mahabharata story, learn about what is this, each conch is. Some is made of this, you know, like in this Panchajanya, as you rightly said, is made of that Rakshasa. Right? When Krishna conquered the Rakshasa, and the Rakshasa was the conch, etc. So these stories are there. But there is some significance, that philosophy that we have to draw from the, all these things. So here he says, Dhananjaya, the Devadatta, the conch of Arjun, he blew. And then he continues to say, Vrikodara. Vrikodara here means Bhima. Wolf bellied. Wolf bellied means what? One who consumes more but is also able to digest it. Wolf is a like a glutton, it consumes, but its stomach is always flat. So like that Vrikodara, Bhima of terrible deeds. Bhima karma. You have done so many terrible deeds, in the sense, something which is inconceivable he will do. The strength of Bhima is something which is inconceivable. Bhima is the Vayuputra, the son of wind god. The power of wind is inconceivable. Similarly, Bhima's power, strength, is something inconceivable. Supposing he had no weapons, he'll just pick up one huge tree and fight. He will uproot a huge tree and then fight. In the sense, something unimaginable feats, that sort of strength. And the great conch Poundra, if he is of such huge personality, then his conch also must be big. So he says, the great conch Poundra. In the sense, what we need to understand here is, each one expresses their readiness. Only thing in Pandava campus, they did not blow the conch first. They merely accepted the war call.
Once Krishna accepts it.
Yeah, once Krishna accepts it, they all understood that we are supposed to accept
so
and
Krishna,
fight it out.
Arjun and then Bhima.
Bhima, so far.
But not the commanding person of that army.
No, he is going to be spoken about in the next few verses. Verse number 16. Ananta Vijayan Raja.
అనంత విజయం రాజా కుంతీ పుత్రో యుధిష్ఠిరః నకులసహదేవశ్చ సుఘోషమణిపుష్పకౌ అనంత విజయం రాజా కుంతీ పుత్రో యుధిష్ఠిరః నకులసహదేవశ్చ సుఘోషమణిపుష్పకౌ.
కింగ్ యుధిష్ఠిర, ద సన్ ఆఫ్ కుంతి, బ్లూ, అనంత విజయ, నకుల అండ్ సహదేవ, సుఘోష అండ్ మణిపుష్పక. హియర్ వెన్ హీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ కింగ్ యుధిష్ఠిర, ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ హీ మెన్షన్స్ సన్ ఆఫ్ కుంతి, బికాస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ హీ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ నకుల అండ్ సహదేవ. నకుల అండ్ సహదేవ దేర్ ఆల్సో పాండవాస్, బట్ దేర్ మదర్ వాస్ డిఫరెంట్. సో వెన్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్డ్స్ హీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ అర్జున్ అండ్ భీమ, దెర్ వాజ్ నో నెసెసిటీ ఫర్ హిమ్ టు మెన్షన్ కుంతిపుత్ర, బికాస్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ కుంతి సన్స్. But here when he talks about Yudhishthira and Nakul Sahadeva, Kunti Putra is mentioned. So king of Yudhishthira, so king Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, blue, Ananta Vijaya. See, Yudhishthira is not yet the king, yet Sanjaya is mentioning him as king Yudhishthira. What do you think he is mentioning him as king even before? First and foremost, since Dhritarashtra could not see, his younger brother Pandu was crowned the king, and when he died early, the Pandavas, the children, the eldest of them, Yudhishthira, should have been coronated, but he is still a small boy, therefore temporarily as a caretaker king Dhritarashtra was there. So rightfully the crown belongs to Yudhishthir, but unrighteously it was taken away from him by Duryodhana. And this very war is to get back to that throne which rightfully belonged to the Pandavas. And indirectly, Sanjaya is saying, since it rightfully belongs to Yudhishthira,
so he is the king.
He is the king, and he will become the king, means he is going to win this battle. Because Dharma is on their side, Krishna is on their side. So, King Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, blew his conch Ananta Vijaya, and Nakula and Sahadeva, Sugosha and Manipushpaka. So each one blew their conches. They were unitedly coming together with the support of Lord Krishna to establish righteousness. Verse number 17 and 18 we'll chant together.
Kashyascha Parameshvasaha, Kashyascha Parameshvasaha, శిఖండీ చ మహారథః, శిఖండీ చ మహారథః, దృష్టద్యుమ్నో విరాటశ్చ, దృష్టద్యుమ్నో విరాటశ్చ, సాత్యకేశ్చ పరాజితః, సాత్యకేశ్చ పరాజితః, ద్రుపదో ద్రౌపదేయాశ్చ, ద్రుపదో ద్రౌపదేయాశ్చ, సర్వశ పృథివీపతే,
సర్వశ
పృథివీపతే, సౌభద్రశ్చ మహాబాహుః,
సౌభద్రశ్చ
మహాబాహుః, శంకాందద్ము పృథక్ పృథక్, శంకాందద్ము పృథక్ పృథక్, కాశ్యశ్చ పరమేశ్వాసః, కాశ్యశ్చ పరమేశ్వాసః, శిఖండీ చ మహారథః,
శిఖండీ
చ మహారథః, దృష్టద్యుమ్నో విరాటశ్చ, దృష్టద్యుమ్నో విరాటశ్చ, సాత్యకేశ్చ పరాజితః, సాత్యకేశ్చ పరాజితః, ద్రుపదో ద్రౌపదేయాశ్చ ద్రుపదో ద్రౌపదేయాశ్చ సర్వశపృథివీపతే సౌభద్రశ్చ మహాబాహుః సౌభద్రశ్చ మహాబాహుః శంకాన్ దద్ము పృథక్ పృథక్ శంకాన్ దద్ము పృథక్ పృథక్
అండ్ కాశ్య ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ కాశీ అన్ ఎక్సలెంట్ ఆర్చర్ అండ్ శిఖండి a maharatha a great chariot warrior drishtadyumna and virata and the invincible satyaki drishtadyumna is the commander in chief he also blew the conch of o lord of earth drupada and the sons of draupadi and the mighty armed son of subhadra abhimanyu all of them blew their respective conches so all those who had come to support the Pandavas also blew their conches so he had completed now saying that first the Kauravas blew the conch the Pandavas accepting it blew their conch and everybody is now ready so the zero hour of the battle the readiness has been expressed by everybody The situation is very tense. They are about to begin the war, the battle. So everybody is there. Shikhandi literally means one who doesn't have the mustache. He was born a woman. Then he became a man. Bhishma had taken a vow that he will not fight against women. So if Shikhandi is brought in front, then Bhishma will not fight. So this Shikhandi is in this Pandava camp, which Duryodhana knew. Therefore, probably he could have said earlier that all of you protect Bhishma. Bhishma can take care of everybody, but he abides by his own vow, which is he will not fight against women. And this Shikhandi was a born woman. Therefore, he could be the person who would be the cause for Bhishma's death. And Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna is the one who will be the cause of Drona's death. And Drishtadyumna was taught by Drona himself.
But how did he know that he would be the cause of Drona's death? To take his father's revenge?
Yeah, he had taken the vow. So, Drishtadyumna, Shikhandi, Virata, invincible Satyaki, Aparajita, means invincible. Satyaki, who was as dexterous as Arjun, as skillful as Arjuna, all these people blew their conch. O Lord of Earth, O Dhritarashtra, Drupada, the sons of Draupadi, the five sons of Draupadi born to each of the Pandava, and the mighty armed son of Subhadra, Abhimanyu, born to Arjun and Subhadra. All of them blew their respective conches. Everybody has made it clear that we are ready. So till this point, Arjuna is also ready for the war. Verse number 19.
Sagoshodhatarashtranam Hridayani.
Sorry?
18.
We've chanted 17 and 18 together. So we'll chant 19 now.
Sagoshodhatarashtranam Hridayani vyadharayat Nabascha prithivim chaiva Tumulo vyanunadayan Sagoshodhatarashtranam Hridayani vyadharayat,
Hridayani
vyadharayat, Nabascha prithivim chaiva, Nabascha prithivim chaiva, Tumulo vyanunadayan,
Tumulo
vyanunadayan.
That tumultuous sound rent the hearts of Dhritarashtra's host and made earth and sky reverberate. See, everybody blew their conch. That was the total sound was too much of noise. The earth and sky reverberated. The vibration was too much. But this outside noise brought about inside fear in Dhritarashtra's host, says Sanjaya. The outside can only bring about fear inside if your inside was essentially selfish. If your inside is not selfish, the outside cannot bring fear. When there is bhakti in your heart, when there is equal vision of acceptance in your heart, you will not be having any fear. When you put your likes and dislikes as the most important, and not accept everything that comes your way as the prasad of the Lord, that selfishness makes you tremble. So that tumultuous sound rent the hearts of Dhritarashtra's host, not the Pandavas, and made earth and sky reverberate. No selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person will ever be unhappy. That is a law. So Sanjaya is trying to tell Dhritarashtra here, even now, if you understand everything, you will send a message and fall off the wall. But he doesn't. When you had listened to your conscience and conviction and not take the sides of likes and dislikes, confront the situation objectively, consciously make choices in life, there can be no fear. But if you take the sides of likes and dislikes and selfishly meet the world, then what all you meet will certainly bring fear inside. An egoistic person will be filled with fear. A person who has surrendered, who looks at life objectively, doesn't take the sides of likes and dislikes, has no fear. So it is not the objects outside that instill fear in you. The fear is brought about by your own selfishness. This is what we need to understand. When you have done your bit, there is no guilt conscience pricking you. When you step away from dharma, when you do not do what you ought to do, then there is guilt conscience pricking you. So here when he says, this blowing of the conch, the noises brought about fear because of selfishness. So that tumultuous sound rent the hearts of Dhritarashtra's host. They were trembling and made earth and sky reverberate. So till now we have seen Arjuna, Pandava, Kauravas, everybody
ready for
the war. So we have seen that Arjuna is externally ready. He doesn't have the thought of relatives here. He is not given into his emotions as of now. Till this moment, Arjuna is absolutely ready. When we say absolutely ready, he is prepared. His outside is prepared. Whether his inside is prepared, we will come to know shortly. As we proceed, we will see that his inside is not prepared. So from verses 20 to 30, how emotions overpowered Arjuna is being detailed here. Again, Vedanta only tells you that you should have emotions, but you should not be under the control of your emotions. Never turn emotional. If you do not have emotions, you will become like a piece of wood. If you have emotions and controlled by it, then you become like an animal. But if you have the emotions and keep them under your control, only then you are a human being. So a human being is one who is not only prepared from outside, but who is prepared from within as well. The outside conquest can never compensate for the inside lacking. Any worthy culture focuses, trains its attention on the inside vis-a-vis the outside. Any worthy culture, any culture that has reached its pinnacle or moving towards the pinnacle of perfection, only values the inside, not the outside. If a person is lacking culture, then he will try to estimate the other person looking at his clothes, looking at his watch, looking at his possessions. But if he had matured enough, these things doesn't attract him. He goes by the other person's character, the other person's behavior, thoughts. So today in the modern world, many of us give into the beautification of the outside. We find that the education system in most of the places are such that it is catering to the outside, not to the inside. So it is not really developing the inside. It is only getting you prepared outside. Where are the institutions in this world today that prepares a person from inside? Speaking softly is not in itself becomes a cultural behavior. But that soft-spoken person, if he lacks the heart, then the words which are spoken softly is actually cruel. Isn't it? So, any society must understand this, that a person is only half grown when his outside is ready. He only fully matures when his inside is ready. So we talked about the thread ceremony, if you remember. The Brahmins, they go through this thread ceremony, which is indicating this only. The outside is grown, but what about the inside? Education should focus on the growth of the inside, not just the outside. Arjuna is extremely well trained in the art of archery. He got the lessons of archery from Drona. He was a fantastic archer. He was number one in the field of archery. He had conquered many battles. He also had the experience. He is ready till now. But from now on, you will see how slowly he collapses. And why is this collapse? This collapse is because he did not have the education for the inside. His inside remained without any training. Similarly, we are also today only outside is good. It's like the building is beautiful, looks strong as well, but the basement is weak.
Foundation.
The foundation is weak. If you see any construction, they take so much time for the foundation, isn't it? They excavate the earth, go deep, and take so much time to make the foundation. And then on top of that foundation, you can build the building, and then thereafter you can beautify it further. The process should never be reversed. So Bhagavad Gita is a subject that makes a person prepared from inside. So just the modern education per se will not suffice. When the challenges will confront us, we might also succumb like how Arjuna succumbed. If we do not wish to succumb, then we need to prepare ourselves before we are confronted with the challenge. So along with our modern education system, we need to also study the Gita, the Vedanta, because the insight should also simultaneously be prepared. So in Gurukula Vasa, when children were sent in the olden days, in the ancient days, they were taught the Veda Shastra as well as the Artha Shastra. Veda Shastra will complement the Artha Shastra. Artha Shastra will not compensate for the Veda Shastra. So therefore, we need to learn the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Vedas have four parts to it. There are four Vedas, the source of knowledge. Veda means the source of knowledge. The four parts of each of the four Vedas. The four Vedas are Rig, Yaju, Sama and Atharvana Vedas. And each Veda had four parts. Mantras or Samhitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas and Upanishads. Mantras are filled with prayers. Prayers are those that take us towards the self within, the reality within, the God within. And Brahmanas highlight the Karma Kanda, the Karma Yoga, and the Aranyakas highlight the Upasana, Upasana Yoga, the Bhakti Yoga. And Upanishads highlight Jnana Yoga, which is discriminating between real and unreal. And this is what
Upanishads highlights, sir?
Jnana Yoga. So the Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga is the essence of Upanishads as well. I'm sorry, the Vedas as well. And Bhagavad Gita is also highlighting this only. In the first six chapters, it highlights Karma Yoga. In the middle six chapters, it highlights Bhakti Yoga, Upasana Yoga, Karma Yoga. The middle six is Upasana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. The last six, Jnana Yoga. So Bhagavad Gita is nothing but
Upasana Yoga, then?
Jnana Yoga. So Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the essence of Vedas. So this study of Gita only prepares a person completely, makes him totally matured to face any situation. We'll meet next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.